Ladies and gentlemen, welcome once again to the Student of the Game. I am Kyle Nash, the Student of the Game, and with me, as always, loyal co-host number one, Weasel Wee!
Yeah, boy!
And back training, or from training, I should say, to fight against, well, fight for democracy any way he can by fighting fires. That's a lot of fighting for you there, Chris. Welcome back, Chris Rankin. What's going on, man?
Not much. What can I say? I like to fight.
You know, he does have Irish roots, folks. All sorts of stereotypes standing into place here. He likes to fight. He's a trenchman as well. A lot of fighting going on in the trenches, in the O-line. A lot of joy as we bring you football talk. Just the way you like it. And, of course, other things we are looking to bring you as well. We will be also joining in NGN talent Montel Hardy here later in the show here. Looking forward to talking to him a lot. And, of course, having Chris back, you know, fantastic time all the way around. Weasel, you know, look, I have fun doing the show with you. We have fun doing the show together. But, look, it's a triumvirate. It's a trinity. It's a trio.
I got you.
I don't know. It's just a better place, man. It's the same thing when you're gone and like, you know, like when you're missing for an anniversary or something, we miss you too. You know, it's the same thing. If Brandon Howard was not here to nurse me through the show while you were gone, it would have been rough too. But nonetheless, enough of the sappy crap. We are whole. We are complete. We are ready to move forward. And speaking of things that are complete, I would argue that there's trying to be a complete overhaul if the NFL has anything to do with it. Da da da. Specifically with the playoff system. Now, guys, correct me when I'm getting this wrong, but my understanding is that the NFL is in talks, as they oft are, trying to mess with the playoff system. And, I mean, it's not the first time they've suggested this change, but I want to kind of get into it. And, Weasel, let me have you lead off here. In your mind, is there anything that really needs to be done with the playoff system as it stands right now?
Currently, I kind of like it the way it is now. It's the bye weeks, you know, you can... You could get a bye week, and you got to earn it. But my change would be keep the games the same, but if you have a wild card team that has a better record than the division, if you have like a season like where Tim Tebow was he was on the Broncos, and they get a home game versus a wild card team, even though like. Sometimes, like, the wild card team has won, like, 11, 12 games.
Well, just because you look for every excuse to bring in Tim Tebow that you do, let's go a different direction. Let's go out talk about a team being one half game away from 500 and still hosting a playoff game.
Exactly.
I'm just saying, 8-7-1. That's the best you can do without being 500. Chris, what's your take?
Yeah, I agree with the losing record as it's not surprising that Weasel brought up Tebow, but... You know, I go back further with the when the Saints had to go up to Seattle and lost that game.
Right.
When the Saints were, 12-4 that year, and right. They had to play against a 7-9 team.
Oh, yeah, yeah. That would be the Seahawks in question there. Where we first unleashed beast mode officially, and the Saints had more injuries on their team. There was nothing they could have done to stop him.
So other than that, a lot of the teams don't like byes because, you know, you go into the playoffs with momentum, and then you get that bye week, and then you kind of, like, lose it. Off of that, so yeah. if they go to like the NBA or NHL 18 playoff, that there is no buys and you just seat the teams as their records, doesn't matter by division, by records throughout there. I think it'll be better.
Yeah, you know, and I like where you put that in terms of actually that's kind of what Weasel said is look, people always give them but hosting a playoff game is the prize for winning a division. No. Making the expletive-deleted playoffs is your reward for winning a division, right? 8-7-1, 7-9, 8-8, none of that garbage. I would even argue sometimes that 9-7 does not deserve to host a playoff game if you have a team like the 49ers, for example. And no, I'm not picking them because of my tendency to follow them. They had a far better record than 8-7-1, I know that. But they're traveling to Lambeau. Not a fan.
Speaking of the guy wearing all Niners stuff right now.
Yeah.
I totally am. It's a good thing we haven't converted to a video. I would have looked really stupid doing this on a video chat. But anyway, so I'll tell you what. There's another mind I'd like to get on this, and we mentioned him in the intro there, but now it's time to bring him aboard officially. A man I will refer to as the hot new talent among radio personalities here on the NGN. The man is always gung-ho. He has been on multiple shows. He's been a tradesman, not just going in the north where he ventures as the NGN's, one of NGN's newest writing talents there, too, but he's even ventured into the NFL West recess and done a lot of stuff there and sounded great doing it. Now he's going to venture our show just to try to see if he can join in on our normal silliness here on the Student of the Game. I speak of the man none other than Montel Hardy. What is going on, Mr. Hardy?
How you doing, Cal? Good to be here.
Oh, man, love having you. Absolutely. And actually, let me give you a chance to weigh in on the topic we were talking about, brother. We were talking about the fact that the NFL, once again in this offseason, has talked about tinkering with the playoff structure, man. Give me a weigh-in on that, man, from your point of view.
As far as the playoff structure goes, I don't know. I feel kind of neutral about it, and maybe I lean to the point of maybe going traditionally and just saying, you know, you don't play well in a regular season, then maybe playoffs shouldn't be in your future.
Ooh.
But you guys brought up some good points earlier about how, you know, Seattle was able to come up and surprise the Saints. And so wins like that are kind of what make the NFL very popular. People love a good story. People love to root for the underdog. And I believe if we expand the playoffs and add more teams, then we're going to see a lot more underdogs and hopefully a lot more better stories. So, obviously, from a television perspective, nothing but good can come from it. But I'm pretty sure in the future, this might be something that, I don't know, maybe they regret doing, maybe they don't. But with the labor situation, injuries, and how those things can factor in, I just feel like there's like maybe a missing element that we haven't really covered before we just, you know, move forward with this.
Well, one thing I can guarantee right now that they're not paying enough attention to, mostly because it impacts the fans first. Oh, he said that out loud, folks. That's right. Is the fact that if you take away buys, what do the teams have to play for later? Seriously, like, for example, and I'll take it back to the NFC West because I'm the most familiar with it. Well, first of all, actually, no, there is no first of all. But when you look at the NFC West, the way it was set up, the Seahawks could have really not cared about that game, their final game. They didn't really need it. In the new system, all it would have really done is possibly change their opponent, right? Nothing else. And so then, so too, would the 49ers have not cared? They win that week 17 game and get into the playoffs instead of the Saints. So A, you've changed fate, and B, you give us games that teams are quitting on, which, you know, is the reason why you can't play fantasy football past week frickin' 12. So, I mean, I don't know. You tell me, Montel, as for the fans go, and not just for watchability of games, but also that fantasy crowd, you can't leave them out because, you know, you'll start hearing the gripes. I know it'll be December, November. Chris will be coming in the studio doing a show. I should have won that stupid game, but they sat so-and-so this week. You know, I mean, am I onto something here, Montel?
Well, the potential fantasy impact is huge, and, I mean, that's definitely something in there. You know, down the stretch, a lot of times guys will be rested to be stored up for the playoffs. Personally, I don't believe in that. I think if you started all, you know, 15 games, play at least a little bit of the next game. I don't believe in sitting starters. If you want to lighten their workload, okay, do that. But it serves some team good down the stretch. But true, fantasy, huge impact. And this is coming from a Fantasy League Championship winner from last year.
Oh, look at this guy. Well, you know, our man here, Chris Rankin, doesn't mess around too much in fantasy. I believe you won your championship as well last year.
No, last year I lost in the semis, but it was the year before I won the finals.
I knew there was a victory sometime in there.
It's every year I'm over in the finals or semifinals, but you know, you brought up the point
And one more thing real quick, too. I also want to give Weasel his props for backing into his championship after a losing record in the regular season. So good job, Weasel. Mm-hmm. But what are you going to say,
yeah,
Chris?
But bringing up when you said last year with the Seahawks and everything, yeah, it only changed their opponent they would have played against. But, I mean, with the Niners, yeah, they would have had the second seed.
Right.
You know, they wouldn't have had to travel to Green Bay like you said they would have. Right. You know, and if you go to eight teams, I mean, you can even just break up the divisions and just have it as like an East-West or NFC versus AFC and just group them as the eight teams like, you know, hockey does, NFL, you know, NHL does. To get those eight teams.
Well, you don't mean breaking up the conferences. You mean breaking up the divisions, like, to where that part doesn't matter.
Right, so, okay, exactly, right. I mean, if you want to keep the conference how it is,
yeah,
still.
I think you need to keep the conference structure in place, because otherwise, then why does it exist? No, I'm, you know, I can see where you're going, and it's kind of like, all right, we're going back to what you and Weasel both cited, is that an 8-7-1 team or a 7-9 team wouldn't be able to host a game. They would just make the cut. Now, you know, Montel brings up the underdogs. Well, hell, we have two recent Super Bowl winners in the Giants and the Steelers who have come from the sixth seed to do the job. So it's not like it would eliminate underdogs as a whole, on the whole. I don't know. That just I feel like as fans, we need to have a public forum discussion on this, figure out what we want more, and then the NFL needs to react to that.
And,
I hope.
And you brought up the Giants and the Steelers, that they were both, they won all their games on the road. If in this other playoff, the 7-team or 8-team playoff they would have, they would still win all their games on the road to make the playoffs. They still would have met the same teams. It's not like they played a home game
to make that trip.
To make that trip to the Super Bowl.
And I think even in the 7-9 Seahawks team that you bring up, I still think they would have, no pun intended, actually pun intended, screw it, run all over the Saints the way they did.
No, I don't think so, because of the 13th man up there in Seattle, the way that there it is, and then the Saints would have
the 12th man and the 12th man,
right. And then the Saints would have been at home. Yeah. And they play better at home than they do away.
The Superdome is a hell of an environment. Having experienced it, thanks to my Uncle Chuck, thank you, Chuck, that is a hell of an environment to play.
So I think that outcome, because, I mean, it was a close game still. I mean, Marshawn Lynch ran all over him. I mean, literally 11 guys he ran over in that one play.
I mean, that's when Beast Mode became famous.
Right. But, you know, it could have been a different outcome if it was in New Orleans than indoors. It was in Seattle.
Sure. No, that makes sense. I don't know. Anyway, so we have done enough indulging Kyle by complaining and or debating. Well, I was complaining, but debating about the playoff format. You know, there was something I was looking around here, and call me a bit of a homer if I'm shamelessly plugging our website there, Montel, but I was looking on nationalgridironnetwork.com, which actually you can check out ngscsports.com, and you'll get the same outcome. There's a future there in website land. Ooh, look at that, building suspense. Da, da, da. Anyways, go to ngscsports.com and check out our own Mr. Montel Hardy ranking QBs for us here in the AFC North. And I don't want you to give it all away for us there, Montel, but for those who should go to ngscsports.com and check out your article, man, let me know a little bit about your criteria. How exactly did you rank quarterbacks? Because, frankly, how you rank quarterbacks, like, your criteria is important, right? I mean, if you do it who looks prettiest, well, it certainly wouldn't be Ben Roethlisberger at the top. I'm just saying.
I don't know. Weasel might
be based on body of work. Already based on body of work, and already based on their expected production going into the season. Now, one thing you got to realize is that when you rank a quarterback, sometimes people break it down physically, mechanically. And I do, you know, I evaluate quarterbacks all the time, but when it comes down to production, because we're talking about winning games here, anytime we're talking about ranking quarterbacks in the division, we're talking about which quarterback has the best chance of getting their team a division championship. So, when I rank, it's based on their production and at the high level that they're expected to play, and also talk about a little bit about what they did leading up to now and why all that makes sense.
Okay, well, I'm not going to make you give away your number one. That defeats the point. But the most interesting spot, I thought, was the guy you put at number two, personally. Might have to have a little talky-talk about that. You want to elaborate a little bit about how you worked your number two there, Chief?
Sure. Well, first off, he's got a Super Bowl ring. So.
Oh, so well, really so you're trying to tell me is Joe Flacco, right?
Moving on, though.
But before we start, you can say his name.
I know. And I respect it. Believe me, I respect it. And I just want to say, if you look at the way the division is shaped, it's really tough to make a call one way or the other. But when I went into it, I looked at it based on body of work and how people performed in pressure situations. Now, I'm not going to give the listeners everything in the article, but there's another quarterback in that division who didn't play very hot in high pressure situations, particularly the playoffs. And so that person was ranked lower. So when you look at the rankings, don't look at it as, oh, I love this guy, that's why he's rated so high. It's like, oh, no, he just outplayed this guy. And he made the throws he needed to make win that game.
So basically what you gave me I don't like him. I had no other choice but to put him here defense.
Well, we can talk about how you put them. Would you put them last, you think, or a third? I mean, if I'm off by one spot, you know, I'll give you that. If you really feel that strongly about it.
Oh, well, but no. I just really think. You got to understand, Montel, it's a little bit apart. You know, let me put it here. There's a soundbite we have here on the Student of the Game that is very appropriate for what I just did to you.
It's a trap.
Okay, we make fun of Joe Flacco on this show all the time. So when you bring him up, I'm going to talk a little smack. We call him Joe the Foul Flacco because he throws a lot of ducks. I'm just saying. So
I didn't know that was a thing. my apologies, Kyle.
What? Hey, I told you up front already. You heard the soundbite.
It's a trap.
Okay, it's not your fault.
He's definitely an acquired taste at the quarterback position, but you got to look at it this way. With the money he's being paid and how he performed, with one thing you got to realize, I mean, the rug was kind of yanked from under this guy going into the year. I mean, how much help did he really get? I mean, he had a defense that basically quit on him towards the back end of the season.
Well, and a lot of them left to start the season.
Back, who's an overachiever, who's playing very well.
Yeah.
And Ray Rice, and he has Torrey Smith, who really, really struggled to be the number one guy. So I don't know. And I think there's something to be said about someone who can make the most of what they got. Because you look around the league, you know, he can't just sling it to A.J. Green whenever he wants to. And he doesn't have a two-prong rushing attack like a Gio Bernard or, Ben Jarvis Green Ellis. So when you think about those things, there's not a lot of tools for Flacco to work with.
Coming strong with the Bengals smack. If I know you're going to do that, I'd have brought Jason Markham on to defend it. I'm just saying, that those are interesting points. I can't front on that. Ray Wright, look, we said it to ourselves last year. Ray Rice did spend a number of weeks on the back of a milk carton as a missing person. We understand that. And I think that's a legitimate point to bring up here if we're going to go this direction. But as far as quarterbacks, and I understand that what I'm going to say is about to be outside the AFC North, but as far as quarterbacks missing talent, would you say that if a quarterback is missing his top two receivers, that's an issue? And then if a quarterback,
say it one more time.
If a quarterback is missing his top two receivers, that would be an issue for him?
Most definitely.
Oh, absolutely. And then if you happen to have one of the best pass-catching tight ends in the league as well, and he's out as well in that same scenario, we're talking about one struggling individual. I'm just saying. And in fairness, Dennis Pitta was where Flacco was missing. A piece that Flacco was missing. So, like you were saying, Torrey Smith was struggling, right? Then they lost.
Well, that's true too. Yeah.
Yeah, they lost Bolden. I'm trying to give you a little bit of credit. Look, I know I make fun of Joe Flacco, but I'm trying to say you had a few good points. I don't want to, you know, just completely abuse you or not. I'm just having fun with you.
Well, think about it though. I mean,
yeah, bring it.
He pitched an absolute shutout, right, during last year's playoffs, too. I mean, not this past year's, but, you know, going into 2013, I mean, he was lights out when he had to be. And there's a guy that you're a huge fan of who I don't know if he was when he had to be.
Hold on now. Who, see, don't disguise it. You're dancing with me, Montel Hardy. Who are you bringing up right now? Are we talking about Kaepernick here or what?
Oh, yeah, we're talking about Colin Kaepernick.
Oh, he's throwing the gauntlet down. And we mentioned that Flacco was missing Pitta, Bolden, who went to go play with Kaepernick, which is totally not Joe's fault. Oh, wait, yeah, it is. And Ray Rice, who disappeared. That's true. But when...
What about 4th and 28 or something?
Weasel's going week the year before, and I was talking about the duck that he threw that corner from the Broncos that completely missed.
Both y'all cats are in 2013. we're not talking about hey diddle diddle Ray Rice up the middle for 4th and 26.
I'll give you that completion should never happen.
So it wouldn't have happened to Super Bowl. You can't go off a Super Bowl off of that duck throw.
Well, not just Super Bowl, but then the Manning thing. Look, we're not bringing up the duck hunter right now. We can do all of that. See, because Jacoby Jones catches Flacco's ducks, he's the duck hunter. Just I'm trying to keep you up with what these guys are talking about.
And he was out quite a bit last year too, by the way. So
I didn't even think of that. So okay, so there's a number of tools I was missing. Kaepernick's missing Bolden, Vernon Davis on a regular basis, down Mario Manninghan. He's down to guys like Quentin Patton as a receiver. But when he doesn't do as well, he's an awful quarterback. I don't understand. I'm just saying. And
how long was Vernon Davis out for?
3 or 4 weeks. He missed intermittently. He didn't miss as long as Dennis Pitta, I will grant. But for a while, the only main receiver on the field was Vernon Davis, just like Joe Flacco only had Torrey Smith at one point, right?
And Michael Crabtree, he's a stranger now. He played too, right?
He was out for 10 weeks, Chief. What do you want?
10 weeks? Okay, that's fair.
So when you put all that together, suddenly Colin Kaepernick's a bad quarterback. I'm just saying. Now, I'll grant, Flacco threw about another 33% more passes than Flacco. So when you break down the completion percentage, it's about even. However, Flacco threw 22 interceptions to Colin Kaepernick's 8.
But you can look at Kaepernick's defense and look what he has to score to be in and win a game.
Oh, no.
And look at Flacco's defense. There was no defense.
Well, yeah, no. Kruger left.
Hall of Fame players in the offseason.
Yeah, Kruger left and, oh, my gosh, Danelle Ellerby left as well. You're absolutely right. But I don't know if he's supposed to be able to work with what he got. I'm just saying. I don't know. Anyway.
They still got some good players in Baltimore.
He made some bad decisions, and I mean, he did turn the ball over. I can't deny that. I mean, not a very good season for Flacco, and that's what I was about to say. Is I'm not really in love with either guy, so I don't believe one way or the other. I'm a huge fan. I don't wear the Flacco T-shirt when I go to bed at night. That's not my thing.
Okay, good. But
I just thought there's something to be said about a guy who can be on a team, and they had an 8-8 season, not bad, but definitely not good enough. But in the scenario he was put in, you know, he didn't have the same help. I could toss out the argument that the Niners maybe have a better offensive line, and definitely
that year was true.
Rush and Ray Gore.
Yeah, that year that was definitely true. That was definitely true. Matt Burke, their Hall of Fame center in Baltimore, there did retire after that Super Bowl. So you know that's a legit point too. I don't know. It's a very interesting discussion. Oh, by the way, one of these teams' quarterback has a $28 million cap number in 2016. So we'll have this discussion again in 2 more seasons. I'm just saying.
It's just going to be a great rate for a starter in the NFL. You know, it's really laughable and it's terrible, but it's going to be the going rate for your everyday starter.
Well,
so just wait.
Yeah, no. I thought that at one point, and then Kaepernick's contract happened. And I mean, regardless of what you think of the player, do you think that the way Kaepernick structured his contract with having so much flexibility in it could possibly be the new wave in the NFL? I mean, you know, we mentioned the Red Rifle earlier here, the Ginger Ninja, Andy Dalton. He's somebody who we're on the fence about, I shouldn't say we, but is on the fence about an extension. Could it be possible that Kaepernick's contract enables Dalton to get a similar extension?
Well, I don't know about – well, one thing I would say is I like the way it was set up because, you know, obviously the 49ers can bail after a couple of years and let go of Kaepernick if they need to, and it wouldn't hurt them too much.
Right.
So I like it on both ways because the quarterback is able to get the money they want. The franchise is able to protect themselves but not completely being tied to a long-term quarterback, especially, you know, with injuries and the way things happen in the NFL. I think – Dalton's case might be slightly different, but in general, when you look at your quarterback and you look at what's out there, you got to say, okay, well, if we don't want to marry this guy for the next 6 or 7 years, then we need to have a plan. And I don't think the Bengals really are in the sweepstakes to draft another guy or to find another guy to bring in. So they're going to stick with Dalton, and so it's just a matter of how they're going to do it. Personally, I may be franchising for a year, make him maybe get an extra year to observe and see what he can do. But Dalton's got a lot to prove this year, and I think if they do get a deal done, it has to resemble that of Kaepernick's. And with any luck, he'll be making a few less dollars rather than a few more.
The dreaded F word amongst NFL players, franchise. The F word that makes players say the F word. Ah, see what I did there. And I don't know. Anyways, you know, well, and you know, I'm glad you took it this direction here, too, because I'm seeing something here. And I just want to get, you know, a few more minutes of contemplation for you here on the quarterback's various contracts and all this other sort of thing. You know, get more people to read your writing on the NationalGridironNetwork.com because, hey, man, I know you're worth the read. I've experienced it. So when it comes to I'm going to say the projected starter because there's so much talk that they don't know what the hell they're doing in Cleveland right now at the quarterback position. But when it comes to Brian Hoyer, he's talking about, what was the number again? He's trying to be a $7 million a year quarterback, Chris?
No, they said the difference between his camp and the Cleveland Browns could be about $7 million per year.
Oh, excuse me. So it's probably much more than that.
Exactly.
So, oh my God, that kind of hurts my feelings.
Three games that he started.
Weasel, do me a favor and let's get Hoyer up on spot track here so we can do some more intelligent conversation what he has now. So let me put it this way. When it comes to Hoyer, he's trying to be a $10 million a year quarterback, let's say. Now, I think I know the answer to this question, but just for people in Denver, Colorado, or in Washington State that had the opportunity to get this high, is Hoyer high to think he deserves this contract? I'll just ask you the question.
It's really foolishness to believe that he deserves it in any type of way. You look back, and I don't even want to touch on his career. We'll just talk about his career as a Brown. And he really just had one good game, really. I mean, he got hurt right after that and was okay before it. He had one good game. And no one's going to make that much money off of it. Matt Flynn, did he even make $7 million a year off of his one good game? And he broke Packers passing records. So it's really nonsense to think that he's going to get that much off of a game, especially on a team that had to draft a quarterback in the first round. So I think it's just a leverage thing. He's just going to say, oh, yeah, difference of $7 million. Come up an extra million or two, and in all honesty, they'll have him.
So
where else is he going to go? Well, expect to start.
He could go back sitting behind Brady. But, no, he did have, what is it? It's 2.5 starts, essentially, because he got knocked out of the.
Yeah, he had 3 starts last year.
Well,
he was 2-1 in his starts.
And I say half because he got
2.5 games,
away.
Technically.
Correct. Yeah, you got me. But that's not worth $10 million? Okay, I couldn't even finish that question.
I'm afraid not.
Sorry, Kyle. It doesn't work that way. I don't know. Crunch some numbers on that for me, Weasel. See how many minutes per million he'd have.
Well, his contract's only $1 million right now this year. Contract for $1 million, which is still a lot less than how much Flacco spent on throwing interceptions last year.
we'll get into that. Let's not even bring that up. Wow. But we're getting to, I guess, on that is, what do you pay for a good backup? And apparently Hoyer doesn't think he's it.
I mean, they broke it down with Matt Casselli's has 2-year $10 million with the Vikings right now, and then Chad Henne has a 2-year $8 million contract they just both signed in the offseason.
Oh, because they both totally earned that.
Right, yeah.
I don't know. I'm going to go with Montel on this one. I'm blaming Matt Flynn for cashing in on one game. I'm just saying.
And it's not just one team. He went to also Seattle, and it was like he got paid still. So,
well, he originally went to Seattle and got paid, and then got beat out by Russell Wilson, then went to
Oakland.
First, yeah,
right.
No, he started with Green Bay. Then he went to Oakland. Then he went to the Buffalo. And then
I forgot about Buffalo.
And then I don't even know where he is right now. I think he's
Then they tried to use him to back up Rodgers, right, Montel?
No, he originally started with
the Packers.
Yeah, that's right. He did come back with the Packers. Exactly.
Yeah. But anyway,
yeah.
Get him, Montel. What are you trying to say? We keep talking over you. We're so rude.
No, it's all good. You guys got it. I was just saying exactly what you said. You know, Flynn was paid millions to go over and lose his job to Russell Wilson, then bounce back to, you know, California and lost his job to Terrell Pryor. So, yeah, not worth the money. And so if they want to pay Hoyer that much to, who are we kidding, eventually lose the job to Manziel? I mean, really?
Now, I got a question.
What do you got, Weasel?
For a guy that has a $52 million guaranteed in his contract, should that guy throw, like, 19 touchdowns? 22 interceptions, 6.4 average.
Weasel's about ready to lower a boom on us. I honestly have no idea where he's going on this, Montel. He's at his desk by himself.
He's talking about Flacco.
Flacco.
Are you really? Oh.
you didn't catch the 22 interceptions?
I thought we were past that already.
Nah.
But that's the thing. Flacco is overpaid. I mean, if you want to go there, yeah, I'll openly admit it. He ruined it for every franchise GM because now your starter, your guy who's not in lead, but startable and not great yet, he's got to be paid that much. So that's what I'm saying. It's just the going rate for a starting quarterback. Did he live up to his contract? No, but that's going to happen. And if it does happen, then you're probably going to be an elite guy if you're worth all $20 million you're paid a year.
All right, gentlemen, we're about ready to hit the break. Let me go ahead and do a pop quiz around the room. I know, Chris, you didn't have time to study. Get over it. Pop quiz. Most toxic quarterback to keep on your roster right this minute. Tony Romo, Joe Flacco, or Matt Flynn? Chris.
Tony Romo.
Interesting, says the Giants fan. Weasel.
Yeah, I got it. Romo.
Montel.
Matt Flynn, are you kidding?
Well, he's the new Tony Romo. He's got a worse playoff percentage.
Okay. Tell me when Matt Flynn leads the team to the playoffs.
No, you know I'm joking, dude.
The guy's still banking, though. I'm telling you.
He's not toxic because he's not on the bench anymore. Oh, that's some silliness right there. You got to love it. We have fun here on the Student of the Game, and we'll be right back to give you more fun in 30 seconds. Until then, you're listening to the National Gridiron Network.
The National Gridiron Network. The National Gridiron Network. Join as we tell you what is happening with your favorite team in the NFL or the NCAA. Listen in as we preview every football game week by week till the end of the season. Follow us at NationalGridironNetwork.com and read up on the latest that is happening across the football landscape. NGU, football talk, just the way you like it.
And we are back here on the National Gridiron Network, bringing you football talk just the way you like it here on the Student of the Game. Of course, I am Kyle Nash, the Student of the Game, here with my team, reunited, and it feels so good. Ah, Chris out of school. He's back with us here. Chris Rankin, gotta love it. And of course, my main man here over here on the other side, Weasel Weez.
Yeah, boy.
Steven Weasel Hurley bringing it strong. And of course, our guest. Hey, man, he came into a somewhat hostile environment, albeit, hey, look, I'll be honest, I did it to you, brother. It's my fault.
It's a trap.
But you didn't have to send me that text about Flacco and Kaepernick. I'm just saying.
Well, I was just listening to it, and I was just like, whoa. I mean, I just wanted to know. That's all.
Hey, so, and you know what? We had a good conversation. I just wanted to open the discussion just to see where you're coming from. I think we did a good job of that. You have some valid points. And you even mentioned the part where his contract ruined it for everybody else. Hey, I think we're more united on this topic than I thought. So we had a big breakthrough here, man. I'm saying. But
I'm proud of the way things went too. We had a nice little middle ground.
Well, I'll tell you what, man. Next time I'm up in the Windy City, we'll hug it out. It'll be great. But the thing I wanted to jump to you on. And I keep looking at my board, but it's not on the board. It's in my head. Is, well, Weasel was looking before the show started. Why are you mumbling to yourself reading the board? I just said it wasn't on the board, goofball.
No, there's something there. It's like, can't even read it.
Anyways, apparently I need to take legibility classes. So, anyways. Oh, yeah. But the thing I wanted to bring to you here is look, you're out of Chicago. You're a Chicago guy. And there's been a whole lot of activity on defense, a lot of draft picks, a lot of things going on. But the thing I wanted to get your weigh in on, as somebody to whom this would pretty directly affect, is essentially trading out Julius Peppers for Jared Allen. Now, on this show, both those guys come up a lot because before there was JJ Watt, I had a little bit of a man crush on Julius Peppers. I'm not going to lie. And Jared Allen was brought up a lot because when it came to talking about the Minnesota Vikings, other than Adrian Peterson, who else would Weasel have to talk about as a Vikings fan? I'm just saying. So,
Cordarrelle Patterson is coming up.
Cordarrelle Patterson is coming
up.
That's true.
He pronounced it all right.
No, he's doing good. Unfortunately, he was sitting back from the microphone, so no one else heard it.
Cordarrelle Patterson.
Boom. See, you witnessed a proud moment here, Montel Hardy. I'm trying to tell you what, man. That's a big step. A big step. But let me know how you feel about these comparisons with Julius Peppers or Jared Allen. Are you team Peppers or are you team Jared, my man?
Well, I'm team Jared. Jared's a beer, right? So from now on, this day forth, you know, Peppers is a Packer. He is the enemy. When it comes to both guys, it's simply a question of value, not of raw talent. We all knew what Julius Peppers was, and even last year, he was a very talented defensive end. When it came down to value, it didn't really match his play. Because we kind of asked him to rearrange his contract to kind of pay him later in his contract, this year we kind of had to let him go because $15 million didn't really fit the play. And now we brought in Allen at maybe almost half that. I think he's making nine-ish a year. So just better value there. Allen for nine versus Peppers for 14 or 15. It's really a no-brainer, and that's no disrespect to either guy. Allen's just going to be the person. And secondly, I think there's something to be said about what's going on in this division. I was talking to a friend the other day. It's going to get real awkward in the NFC North when divisional games happen. Corey Wooton's a Viking now. Julius Peppers is a Packer, and Jared Allen's a Bear. So some of these games are going to be awkward for fans, awkward for teammates, you know, as they prepare to try to crush each other and see who's going to finish at the top. But I'm definitely a bigger fan of Allen. I think he's just excellent, great at health. I mean, if you look at his record, he might have missed one game in the past 4 years, 4 or 5 years. So, and that's being generous. I'd have to double-check ESPN, but I'm confident this guy's been healthy week in, week out, and that's exactly what the Bears need. Their defensive line was depleted last year, and that's part of the reason why they were held back in the playoffs.
And I would venture, even though it was 2 years removed, they were still reeling a little bit from the Urlacher departure as well. Weasel, what do you got?
Yes, we got Jared Allen versus Julius Peppers. Now, compare kind of their career, and usually for a defensive end, you think the top thing you think of is career sacks or sacks per season. Now, Jared Allen had 8 out of 10 double-digit sacks in the season, and the highest sacks for one season for Julius Peppers is he had 14.5. Now, Peppers actually played, I think, 2 more years than Jared Allen, but Allen actually has 10 more career sacks than him, 128.5 to 118.5. Now, the thing about Jared Allen, because, you know, being a Vikings fan, he brings like energy to the field, and he tries to, you know, get the crowd pumped up. He's got that silly little lasso, the
hog tie, baby,
the hog tie, yeah. But the guy is fun to watch, and I mean,
that's what it looks like. I'm guessing,
yeah, it's the hog tie. He started that when he was in Kansas City.
That's correct. I am not somebody who is on a farm by any stretch of the imagination, but I do live about 45 minutes away from Bithlo, which in Florida terms is about as backwards as you get, as you can get, I think. I don't know. They have demolition derby there with buses.
All right. Yeah, it's as close as backward as you can in Orlando. Yes, that's correct. Yeah, if you want to go a little north, that's Palatka. I mean, it makes Bithlo look like...
There'll be a quiz on all this later, Montel Hardy. Look at it. No, but... but where I'm kind of going, I think where Weasel's going is you have more double-digit sacks per year, but I think another element that if you're going to compare just numbers that you might be missing when it comes to Julius Peppers is the fact that for a while in Carolina, he was it. After Chris Jenkins left, after Will Witherspoon, I believe the linebacker, left, he was it. I mean, this was back when they were, you know, starting. Who was the Notre Dame quarterback that flopped so awfully?
Brady Quinn?
No, not Brady Quinn.
No.
Montel had it. Who you got, yeah. Montel?
Jimmy Clausen.
Yeah, that's Clausen. Clausen.
I knew
Clausen.
It was Jimmy something. The pickles are great. The quarterback sucked. All right. That's all I'm saying, okay? But I think that's more mileage on Pepper's body. Well, that does account for more injuries and things like that. You know what else it also accounts for? More wear and tear down the road, meaning Peppers will not last as long in addition to having 2 extra seasons as Allen will moving forward. You're getting Allen for less money. And yet people seem to think that getting Julius Peppers was the better move. Now, granted, the Packers were desperate for defense, okay? The Packers are a prom date. They can score, and they won't stop anyone from doing it. It's the bottom line. You like that right there? But it's kind of like what the Saints were doing, you know, lately. I appreciate the props, Montel Hardy. But, I mean, I'm sure you're kind of in my camp with what I'm talking about, how Allen is a little bit underappreciated here considering all that. I mean, and you tell me, because I know you're more familiar. I'm not a draft guy by any stretch. Heck, where I first heard you was you talking about the Bears draft. Bring in for me, explain to me how the Bears draft on what they did with their defense during this offseason is going to even bolster Allen even further, man. Help me out with that.
they're going to do what they can to get him his one-on-ones outside, and they did it by helping him inside. So earlier in the draft, they went on rounds two, round three, picked up two great defensive tackles. Absolutely love the Ego Ferguson selection, and then went back and got Will Sutton with the third-round selection. And what that allows them to do is have their they have a raw talent in Ego Ferguson, so it's going to take a little time to develop, but maybe a lack of top-tier talent on the defensive line will allow Ferguson to get more reps and to maybe even get a few starts. But Ferguson is primarily a run stopper. And when you finish 32nd in the league, dead last in stopping a run, he's a guy you're going to want to keep on your side. Secondly, going and grabbing Will Sutton, huge help, because that allows them to have their 2-3 technique, and that's their quicker, more disruptive defensive tackle. That's the guy who's going to make the plays in the backfield. And Will Sutton is a great guy whose stock dropped because he was asked by his coach to gain 20 pounds. After finishing with 13 and a half sacks, his coach had the nerve to tell him to gain 20 pounds before his final year at Arizona State. So he did it, and he slowed down. You know, his production dropped off a little bit. And going into the combine, the Bears saw him and, you know, asked him to lose a few pounds. Now he's down to 290, 295. That's his natural playing weight. So expect that quickness to pick back up again. So he's going to be very disruptive at the point of attack. A lot of people saw him as like maybe a poor John Randall. But we'll see where he goes with that. He's probably going to be the best bet to start out of the rookie defensive line picks between the two. And then if you go to the opposite end of the line, the Bears went out aggressively, signed Lamar Houston, signed Willie Young. If either these guys aren't ready, especially Sutton, they can option one of those guys in as a defensive tackle to play the three techniques. So lots of versatility along that defensive line now. And these are guys who can all compete, who can all play. And what I like about what the Bears did is they decided to, you know, add more competition, because they also re-signed Jay Ratliff. And he was basically the only defensive tackle who really showed up as soon as he was signed, from a game-to-game basis. And they also have Steven Paella. He set the combine record for bench press reps. So I believe there's more to this guy than we've seen yet, maybe. So lots of competition along the defensive line. I expect it to be a very solid year for the Chicago Bears. And whoever makes it to the front line as a starter week in and week out, they will be performing well. And once again, that's going to help on Allen, because he's got that help up front. He's going to get more one-on-one matchups. And if they have to double-team him, someone else is going to start causing a lot of issues along the offensive front.
You know, I started doing the podcast about, hell, what is it now? 7-8 years ago?
Yeah, about 8.
Something stupid like that. But I started really getting bigger into it and following it closer around the 2011 season, where, you know, that would be the year, as Bear fans would know it, where Forte and Cutler all got hurt. Then, you know, last year, the Bears come in, Cutler gets hurt again. And while Josh McCown did an admirable job filling the gap, certainly fate would have been different in a world where Cutler was healthy and Rodgers was hurt. Can the Bears find the antidote to the snake bite, Montel Hardy? What is going to be the difference in 2014? I mean, look, none of them's been on Madden, so how can I have a Madden curse? That's basically what I'm getting at. What can they do?
I understand, and that's what I was telling one of my friends the other day. Since I've been a Bears fan, this is really the first year where it's like, okay, playoff run, deep playoff run, something's got to happen here. Too much talent on this team. No more being cautiously optimistic, because they actually spent the money and got the guys who we complained that they didn't get in the late 90s, early 2000s. So at this point, it's basically going to be this. With Trestman coming in, a lot of people said last year he'd have one more year of good defense and he'd have to figure out that offense in a hurry. Well, he got that offense figured out and the defense didn't show up. So I think this year they've got it. Marquise Wilson, he's a third-string wide receiver behind Marshall and Jeffrey. He's been working out with Marshall and Jeffrey in the offseason. He's going to have a breakout year this season. And I really think he's going to be crucial for them down the stretch, help take the top off the defense. We all know what Matt Forte can do in the backfield. I'll leave that alone. It's ultimately going to come up to this defense and how they can make plays. I believe the Kyle Fuller draft pick and just some of the other picks and acquisitions the Bears made is to give the defense some versatility, and it kind of challenges Mel Tucker. Because what it says is, we got a bunch of pieces for you. You better know how to use them. Because in all honesty, all the Bears defense needs to do is just be average. And this is a playoff team. Just be average. Finish 16th in every defensive statistic. I promise they'll be in the playoffs when it's all said and done. And they might end up a 12-win playoff team. So when it comes down to it, I don't think injuries will cost this Bears team too much. But all they need, really, literally, all they need is Cutler to stay healthy. There's depth, solid depth, everywhere else. offensive line, defensive tackle, linebacker this time around, and also in the secondary. You know, there's word that maybe Tim Jennings might be playing nickel corner, so maybe Fuller and Tillman will start on day one. So lots of depth all around the team. It really hurts that we don't have McCowan this year, but, you know, kudos to him. He's got a starting job. He's doing what's best for his family. And hopefully between, I think it's Jordan Palmer, Jimmy Clausen, and they drafted – oh, who's the guy they drafted from San Jose State? They drafted –
Jordan Lynch. Was it not the guy that undrafted?
You guys know? David Fales.
Oh,
so
okay.
Between those three guys, they have to emerge as a good backup for Connor. But I think this is the year they break the curse, because you look at the team up and down. Kadeem Carey's back in the fourth. There's really no one injury that can own them. You know, that can end it for them. So it's just a matter of that defense does what they're supposed to do. And once again, they just really need to be average. Finish average, everything's okay.
Well, I mean, the Cowboys have been trying to do it that way for years and haven't had any luck. So I'd be careful with that approach.
Well, they've been an 8-8 team last time I checked. Isn't that the definition of average?
I'm saying.
I mean, really.
You're on my page, dude. I like it. Two more questions here, and then we'll move on from the Bears. First of all, do you think an element of their success is the fact that Coach Mark Trestman has done what he has with the team, in addition to intimidating his opponents by looking like a Disney villain?
Mark Trestman is an offensive genius. I don't really know what else to say about it. One thing I like about him is that he comes in, he's definitely a Chicago guy. You can tell, blue-collar work ethic, solid guy, not a big personality, not a Rex Ryan, not a Jerry Jones. He's not going to get into here and just try to be the loudest guy in the room, because we all know the loudest guy in the room is never the smartest guy in the room. So when it comes down to it, Trestman, solid offensive coach. And what I like is, if you look at the statistics, if anyone's in the metrics, Jay Cutler's bad decision percentage went down dramatically. And if you've watched him play, you know that that's something that really needed to happen in a hurry. So everyone wants to talk about game plan and play-wise. It's just really been coaching up the quarterbacks, training them to make the correct decisions. And after that, athleticism and natural talent will shine through. And we saw with Jay Cutler. He's got an excellent arm. And he stays in very good physical shape, and he's got deceptive mobility. You know, he's very quick. So if he can just make the right decisions, once again, good things are bound to happen. He was obviously, you know, hurt, I think, and missed maybe six games or something like that during the season. But he was on pace for over 4,000 yards and over 30 touchdowns. So him and McCowan, I think, as Bears quarterback, succeeded under Trestman's guidance, not necessarily his offensive playbook, though his offensive playbook is great, but it's really been just the mental aspect and coaching these guys up.
And one last question. Your fellow NGN cohort and NFC North writer, G. Stelio, put Jay Cutler as the second quarterback in the NFC North. Do you agree?
Absolutely. You can't top Aaron Rodgers. He's got the Super Bowl ring. He's the big money guy, and he's an elite quarterback. He's at the level where Cutler's trying to get to, where people thought he'd always be and where he hasn't yet made it. So absolutely fair. I believe that on the merit that Jay Cutler doesn't have a Megatron to throw to, I don't think it's fair to put Stafford above him, because when you look at Stafford's play later in the games, I mean, down that stretch when Detroit blew their playoff hopes, I think he threw like, what was it, 12 interceptions in the last five, six games.
Oh, it was something ridiculous.
Kind of a collapse, right?
Oh, yeah. No, it was pretty sad. But
it was pretty epic. It was pretty epic.
I see what you did there. It's all in your perception, Cal. What do you got, Chris?
No, I was just saying, with Stafford and everything, why doesn't he fall in the same category as Joe Flacco there with no talent? All he has is Megatron. He doesn't have any other receivers over there in Detroit.
Well, he has Reggie Bush when he's on the field.
Reggie Bush as a running back. He doesn't have any other receivers.
And I'll grant this, Joe Flacco never had a receiver purposely running the wrong routes like Titus Young. But that's a different...
Well, Titus Young didn't play last year. I'm just saying, Titus Young wasn't on the team last year.
That's true. You know. Because he would intentionally run the wrong routes. Right. Anyways, but yeah, no, I... To put
Stafford below Bridgewater on that list.
Don't give away the whole article. I want people to check out GCS.
They can still check it out, but still, you know, they can comment on how wrong it is right there.
Oh no.
Putting a rookie above a veteran there.
Wow. Wow. G. Stelio, officially on Twitter, I need you to respond to the fact my boy Chris called you out here on the show. What is it? Rankin, the SOT, what's your
Twitter? At Rankin SOTG.
At Rankin SOTG. See, I do remember it. So I should make for a very interesting rumble, because as much as I have a man crush on J.J. Watt, G. Stelio has a man crush on Jay Cutler. And even you as a Bears fan, Montel Hardy, I'm sure you would think that's a little strange. But we'll leave it at that.
Strange that Cutler was ranked over Stafford?
No.
Is that the question?
No. A man who has a man crush on Jay Cutler is just doing it wrong. I'm just saying that. No.
Well, I mean, I don't know. He doesn't have the fuzziest or the warmest personality from what I can see. But, I mean, hey, you know, there's a lot of people who kind of, I guess, get with his attitude. You know, Cutler's one of those guys, you know, take me as I am. I'm not going to beg for your respect. My place speaks for itself. What's the phrase, you know, real tough people, the tough guys, they walk in silence, right? So I guess that's kind of a Cutler thing. And maybe, you know, that's the sense of the man crush. Maybe they have the same mentality, you know. That's something you got to think about.
Yeah, no, and you know, I make jokes about Cutler, but the truth is, I think he's gotten a bad rap more often than not, because he is a tough player at the very least, and people question that a couple times when he got hurt, and that just is ridiculous. So, as many jokes as I make, I need to be on record as saying I believe that Cutler is a tough player, if nothing else here, gentlemen. We're closing into the home stretch here. We got about 8 minutes left, and just something that randomly popped up in my mind here. I saw a post on Facebook. And because we don't really have enough time to dive into another serious topic, I just wanted to get something silly out there and just ask you guys this question. It's that time of year that they pretty much do it every year. They start talking about what the best sports movie was and all this stuff. And like, you can pretty much set your watch to the time of year they have this discussion. Can somebody please tell me why The Replacements does not get any love? Can anybody help me with that? I mean, you got Keanu Reeves at quarterback. He's dreamy. Let's be real.
Yeah, no, it's Padalco.
But you got to remember, Keanu Reeves in all his movies is exactly the same. He's still from Bill and Ted's. In some way he acts.
I don't know.
Yeah, that's how he sounds. He's like a Michael Cera kind of guy. You know, he just reads his lines. He's not really an actor. And he plays the exact same character.
Ooh, Barry and Keanu Reeves. You didn't even like The Matrix?
I don't know. It was a great movie, but I don't love it because of his performance. I think Lawrence Fishburne was what got me into The Matrix. So,
yes.
I mean, if we're going to go there, you know. But I think, in all seriousness, The Replacements is a very underloved movie.
Thank you.
I love The Replacements. It really is a good movie. But I guess it gets no respect down the stretch, because we're talking about, you know, some scab players for... And it's not a true story like a lot of football movies. So, you know, just a couple of small things, I guess.
I don't know, dude. Let's be real. With the lockout that we just had a few years ago, it didn't seem all that unreal then. I'm just saying.
I don't know, man. I mean, it would have been fun to see.
Yeah, well, it was. I'm glad we didn't have to see it, but I don't know. Chris?
No, I was just saying, we touched on this topic last year in the offseason when we graded our top football movies of all time.
Mm-hmm.
Some of the ones I know we didn't mention last year was like The Little Giants. I remember we brought up later on in
the
episode. The Replacements was another one.
I'm sure I brought it up then, too.
Right, I know. It's some of those movies, you know, you got to look at and see. Yeah, Replacement, if you look at football movies, everyone's like, oh, Rudy.
No.
You know, Rudy's, yeah, it's based on a true story. It was kind of sappy or whatever. I'd rather see The Replacements or even Varsity Blues over.
Give it a 10.
Yeah.
10.
Calling dinosaurs.
Wow. So
I'd rank Any Given Sunday over some of these movies out here, maybe over Varsity Blues. I'm just gonna throw it out there.
Well, yeah, I like that pick too.
His speech during that final game.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the game of inches speech, we'll call it. And I'll tell you what, that was a movie when I first saw it. I had to really see it again after I got into covering football and all that to really understand what they were trying to do. And the part where Steeman Willie Beeman first takes the field. and he sees the, and he, like, the players are all blurry with how they're moving, and how he used that as a device to show the speed of the game for somebody who's just trying to kind of pick up the quarterback position per se. It was an interesting method, I'll say. I don't know.
I'm getting all too faulty now. Yes.
So, but I mean, I don't know. Any Given Sunday, certainly in the conversation. I don't know. Is that your number one, Montel Harding?
Say that one more time.
Is that your number one pick? Any Given Sunday?
Oh, no, not my number one. I got to go, you know, I got to go old school. If I got to go with a number one movie, I got to go with, you know, Remember the Titans. I had to blindly go in, I don't know. Maybe it's because it's a Disney movie. Maybe it's because it's a true story. But when you look at acting and the way Denzel owned his role, I think that's where you got to go with it.
I'm going to lie. Denzel handled his business in that movie. That's true. I mean, some of it was formulaic, but I don't think it was a poorly done movie. And then you got Turk from Scrubs in there. I can never remember that actor's name, but I dig what he does. But another underrated movie, Chris and I know that. This is more from me and Chris's vintage. First of all, I love this kid comes on the program, tries to tell me that Remembers the Titans is old school. By the way, my dad called. He said he's seen the original Longest Yard.
Sure.
I don't want to hear about old school.
Yes. The original Longest Yard.
The way it worked out, necessary roughness, not appreciated enough. I'm just saying. it's not. I'm sorry. It's not a serious movie, but it's
got Sinbad in it. Can't take any movie serious with Sinbad.
We need to party.
Come on, man. You got Kathy Ireland as a kicker.
And why are we complaining about
it? I'm not complaining about it. That's why it's got to be moved up a couple notches there. Ireland as a kicker.
I don't know.
That's for the older people. They don't even know who the younger crowd doesn't even know who Kathy Ireland is.
Okay. Yeah, well, and you know, I it's not your fault. We're not getting on your case, Montel Hardy, but when you throw out Remember the Titans as old school, like, yeah, maybe you aren't realizing what room you're in, but the average age in here is 32, I believe. Okay. So let's be careful. So I don't know. Anyways, Montel, actually, we got about 2 minutes left in the show. I want to make sure we get an opportunity for you to drop your parting words and let the people know where they can find you, my man.
Say that one more time, bro. I'm sorry.
Let the people know where they can find you. Facebook, Twitter, all that happy stuff.
I couldn't hear you. I'm sorry, man. One more time.
Give the people your Twitter handle, bro. Let them find you.
Oh, Twitter. I'm sorry. I think I'm going part deaf, and part of it's this Windows phone I got. I need to upgrade and get an iPhone. That's on the list of things to do. But anyway.
You and me both, kid.
MH_on_sports. That's where you can find me on Twitter. I follow back.
Hey, he does. It's you know what? And Montel, thank you for coming on the show. Thank you for having a good discussion with me about this whole Kaepernick-Flacco thing.
90 seconds.
I'm not convinced, but I understand.
I just wanted to clear the air.
There you go. And yeah. Ooh, it's lemony fresh. Anyways, Montel, thanks for coming aboard, man. We hope to have you again on here real soon. Check him out also, National Gridiron Network, ranking the AFC North quarterbacks. Ladies and gentlemen, Montel Hardy.
Thanks again, guys.
So, yeah, no, he suffers from bad phone-itis, kind of like I do. But, hey, still brought it strong. I got to admit, you know, I like what he had
seconds for
the group. Anyways, go ahead, moving towards wrapping it up. Next week will be very interesting. We'll be that much closer to training camp. Da-da-da! And just a whole lot of awesomeness going on after the national holiday that is July 4th. In the meantime, check out my man, Weasel Weez.
Yeah, boy.
At Weasel, the SOTG. And, of course, Chris Rankin coming back once again, Rankin, the SOTG. And, of course, find me at the SOTG because, you know, it's my show. I can get away with that. And until next time, ladies and gentlemen, we enjoyed it. But for now, class dismissed.